So, welcome to the Skagway Borough Assembly Candidate Forum. I'm KHNS reporter Henry Leisha.
And I'm Skagway News editor Dan Fox.
So there are two seats available on the Borough Assembly, and three candidates are running in the election. We are joined today by Roger Griffin and Steve Burnham. Thank you both for being here.
We've prepared a number of questions for the candidates about how they would address issues facing the borough if elected. We ask that candidates try to limit their responses to 3 minutes. We'll be asking our own questions and questions submitted by the residents.
So let's get started. So first, if each candidate could just give us a brief introduction and tell us why you're running for assembly. Let's start with Roger.
Okay. Well, I think that over the past year, the mayor and assembly have made some pretty tough decisions, and I congratulate them for standing by them, and I think they've started us down the path toward a good future with respect to our part. I think that as for myself, I think I can bring something to the table when we're looking at this next step of putting something together. I've had a fair amount of experience with marine tailings disposal, which is a subject of considerable contention, as well as land exchanges, for example, with the Alaska and land settlement agreements and all that. And so those are experiences that I think I could bring to the table that would be useful in the work that is to be done.
Thank you.
Same question. My name is Steve Burnham, Jr. It's important because there's two that live in town, and one of them is my father, who's not running for assembly. I've been on the assembly almost 6 full years, just concluding the sixth year, and I feel like there is much unfinished business that has been going on since before I got on assembly. And I think being up to speed is important, but also trying to look at what the fact actually is versus what people feel is very important to me. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in the emotion of an issue versus trying to do the right thing for the entire community, which requires being open to hear what everyone has to say as much as possible, and whether that be email, social media, phone calls, stop on the street. I've actually gotten snail mail, which is really cool. And it makes you question whether you should respond using snail mail, but I didn't. And nonetheless, I think having assembly members who can be approachable and care about all the issues in the community, and it is the most important thing. There's way more issues that affect what everyone deems to be the most important issue, the port. I think the whole community and all of the things going on in it affect the port and are affected by the port. And so we have to pay attention to all of them. And so I'm interested in following the facts and addressing everything as best I can.
Thank you both. So the first question is, when is an executive session appropriate? How do you keep negotiation transparent without releasing sensitive information that could impact the outcome? We'll start with Steve.
Executive session. This was discussed recently. A lot of people are concerned that the Assembly's been scheduling too many executive sessions, but I don't think it's actually too many that's the issue. It's the vagueness of what is to be discussed in executive session. So according to the Alaska state statute, generally, if something, an issue could affect the municipality's finances, then it's appropriate to meet in executive session. Or if you need to discuss an issue with the borough attorney, then it's appropriate to discuss in executive session. I think that the number of executive sessions scheduled recently, the agenda items were vague and could be broadly interpreted, and I think that we could do much better. If we need to discuss something in executive session, we can dial it down to what is the issue exactly. And then not only that, there should be an item on the agenda that's open discussion about that same item. So not only are you going to executive session, if it's important enough, then you go, you discuss it, you come out, and you have open session. And you could either have, you could have open session discussion on the item before the executive session, and you could also have it after. And the assembly has discussed a lot of this. And I haven't supported the majority of executive sessions recently or since being elected the second time. When I ran last time, I said that we needed to cut down on it, and so I've been pretty critical about it.
Roger?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and I think to look at why it's an issue here in Skagway, you have to go back a few years, and there have been several rounds that have to do with the waterfront. And the first round I would call White Pass 1, and that had to do with the negotiations that took place in Florida as well as an executive session up here. Then White Pass 2, where there were virtually no executive sessions and everything took place around the dais in the table, and then what's going on right now, where there are quite a few executive sessions going on. The legal parameters are pretty brief. It has to do with finances, the effect of the finances of the borough. Then you can go into executive session, or if it has something to do that might damage the reputation of a person, then you do that. But either one of those are pretty broad, and I think give a lot of latitude to the people who call it and vote for it or against it. Having said that, I think a lot of it comes down to a matter of trust. In White Pass 1, there wasn't a lot of trust, and that had to do with the context of the negotiations, Florida and all that. I went to assembly meetings during the White Pass 2 round where everything was done in public, the way those who would like to see no executive sessions done, and it was painful as a citizen to watch it, and I think it was painful for the people up there on the assembly. And also, it's not a good negotiating strategy because we are government and we are dealing with a private entity, and the private entity can go to the boardroom and speak their minds freely and say, for example, what their bottom line is. If you have a negotiation in public up on the dais for all to hear, you really can't put out your bottom line because everybody knows what your strategy is or isn't. And this is a business transaction, and some parts of it need to be confidential, and some parts of it need to be public. And that's a conundrum. Government's playing by one rules, business is playing by another one, and the two don't necessarily fit, and this is one of the places where the fit isn't very good. So what I think I would like to see done with respect to executive sessions going forward at this time, I think they're necessary. I think that the assembly members need to have the freedom to speak their minds. I think that they need to establish the different strategies for negotiations, and those need to be kept close to your chest. in order to have an effective negotiation. What I would like to see is some sort of a middle route between everything out and everything closed. And at the very least, perhaps, at the end of an executive session, the Assembly could provide some sort of a summary of what was discussed and what action was decided, or if no action was decided, then something to that effect as well.
Okay, thank you. Second question, can Skagway support and fund a pool? Why or why not? Start with you, Roger.
Well, this question's come up before on forums, and the last time I was sitting here and that question came up, I said, well, if there was a pool here, I would probably use it. A few years passed, I used to swim every day, and at that time it was about a mile a day, so it is a great form of exercise. On the other hand, a pool is very expensive, and they're very expensive to build, and they're expensive to maintain. I go to the rec center regularly in the men's shower room. There's three showers, and they shut down one of them every winter. So I'm not sure why that is. There's always a little sign up that says closed for the winter. It's hibernating. So point being that if we're having trouble maintaining three showers, then I can't imagine we're going to do any better with a swimming pool. It's expensive. I'm opposed to it, and I don't want to see a sales tax increase to support it. I would vote against that as well.
Thank you. Steve?
I think most people have heard my thoughts on swimming pool over the last almost 6 years. I think a pool would be fantastic in Skagway, but we can't afford to operate it. And I don't think that, I don't even think bonding the pool would be an appropriate expense as far as capital projects go. We just bonded a similar large project for the public safety facility, and on that ballot option, we had the sales tax increase proposal as a way to pay down the bond, and that vote failed. And then we built the building in any case, and ultimately I voted against building it because we had not determined how we were going to pay for the bond other than using some CPV, which is appropriate. I felt we needed to tighten our belt and look at what the community was actually saying when they voted against the sales tax but in favor of bonding the construction. But as far as a pool with it's a two-part project, and really it's actually a three-part project. There's a need for a rec center fitness expansion, and I think that need is very real, especially in a wintertime Alaskan town. But also in the summer when it gets cramped and muggy inside the building. The second part is the administrative wing probably needs expanding because the current office is 10 by 10. And so it's a probable $7 million expense just for building another building. Originally, we thought let's build to the north and do the fitness expansion, and we were told that'd be $1 million. But when the engineering came back, it was at least three, and probably five. And so then that's why we're talking about a separate building. Pool wise, add another $9 million to that, and we're in the public safety building category, $16-17 million, and the current rec center already is subsidized with $400,000 of sales tax a year, it makes about $100,000. Add a pool to that, and one of the USA Swimming consultants, they had a report, and it indicates it's around $340,000 that the municipality would have to subsidize a pool. And considering that, I'm not in favor of it at all. So, but again, it is up to the voters to recommend what to do, and I feel that if they do recommend that we move forward with some sort of pool, I would push for one that is sustainable and affordable, and it's going to be extremely difficult to figure out how to do that.
I agree with you absolutely, Steve.
So what will you or can you do on the Assembly, if elected, to support local students and the school district? Steve?
What can we do to support the local school district? Currently, the municipality funds the local school to the cap, and outside of that, we also fund student trips, camps, other things like that. And I think it's a cost of living, quality of life sort of expenditure. We do a lot of projects that benefit the economy, and we try to expand our economy in the wintertime as well, where we can get the shoulder seasons to be a little bit longer, get people to come here sooner. But year-round, the best thing for the community currently really is the school and teams that come here and go to the restaurants and spend time in town. So supporting the school to the cap, beyond the cap, more, paying for enrichments such as Voc Tech building that the school has been asking for several years now, those enhance the community by giving people a reason to move here and actually be here year-round, which hopefully we can expand economy into the shoulder seasons throughout the winter, enough to not only show people that there's a great school here, come here, but you can also find a job and work here more than just 7 months out of the year. So I would support it as much as I can.
Roger?
I think the Assembly has been generous in their support of the school. That's my answer.
Okay. What do you define as the single most pressing issue facing Skagway within the next year, and how would you work towards solving it? Roger.
Well, I at the risk of being labeled a single issue candidate, and I'm really not. I think Steve made a good point in his opening that you have to look at everything, not just one thing. But so much of our future here at Skagway depends upon what happens with the port and the pending expiration of the White Pass lease in 2023. So I think that if we can get that right, a lot of other things in the community will fall in place. And it all has to do with money. The city has been pretty generous with the amount of payment that White Pass has been paying in the past for the lease. I think those need to be at a market rate. There are a number of proposals on the table that for moving forward with respect to the port. Traditionally, I've been in favor of a port authority. There may be other options out there that are better, and I would certainly want to entertain them. I think that when we look at one solution to the exclusion of all others, then we tend to miss opportunities that may be sitting elsewhere. Whatever we do with respect to the port, I think there are several concepts that I would certainly use to evaluate any proposals. And number one is that whatever the city receives for the tidelands needs to be market value. Number two, it needs to be controlled by the community and it needs to be managed for the community. We can't allow any one commercial entity to control the usage of the port, and by that I mean control it to the extent that other people can be kept from using the moorage. And I'm talking about other cruise ship lines, for example. Specifically that. It needs to be available for short-term industrial use, and a good example of that, of course, would be Hamilton's need to ship supplies and equipment up to the bridge reconstruction up there on the Klondike Highway. Then it also needs to be available for the transshipment of ore concentrates from up in the Yukon Territory. And then, of course, we have to clean up the mess in the ore basin. And that kind of underlies all of these and somehow needs to be worked into a solution. Short term, a specific approach, I'm open to a number of alternatives, but the city needs to realize that the port is our only resource. And all the other things that we look and we want for the wealth and health of the community will depend upon what comes out of these port negotiations.
Thanks, Roger. Steve?
Dan, do you mind restating?
Sure. What do you define as the single most pressing issue facing Skagway within the next year, and how would you work towards solving it?
Okay. So, within the next year is, I think, the most important part of the question, and it's visitors. The visitors that come here are going to have and currently do have a large impact on the community. We've seen it with the larger ships that come here, that we're operating at what I consider maximum capacity because we haven't kept up with our restroom facilities. The ones we have are overburdened. We haven't kept up with pedestrian access from the port to the business district. And we still, even though we've been improving our signage, we still have people who are lost as they're heading back to their ship and they don't know where they came from. These are issues that we can't sustain if we add more boats of the breakaway and solstice size ships. And if you have two on a day, up to three on a day, potentially, if we can figure out our dock issues, it's going to be difficult. We currently have an incinerator that in the summertime is burning 7 days a week, where all the years past it's been 4 days a week. And while it's burning, we've got garbage on the floor. They can't keep up. And the sewer treatment plant is catching wastewater dumps all at one time, and it can't keep up. And I'm sure that everyone can tell if they're down by First and Main, we're not keeping up. It's the capacity is at the limit. When I think of the port, I don't think of just water because the highway is also clogged with buses and industrial traffic such as fuel, occasionally ore trucks, and RVers. And we have to address the road. We need to try to get the border to be open longer or earlier for the truck traffic. Potentially add another lane for the border crossing. We're working on bike lane. Once you get down into the Dai Road area, so that maybe we can get the bikes off of the highway there. And on the water side of it is just as important, because if you can't figure out how to get a new dock in, then we're not going to be able to add to the passenger ridership visitors coming to Skagway. So it's a issue that we have to attack from all directions, all at one time. And so just putting in a dock is not the end of the problem. If we can't figure out all the uplands things and do them all in concert, we're done. So am I.
May I make an additional point? Please. I think Steve raises a number of good issues, and especially with respect to the condition of our infrastructure. By that I mean sewage and trash and all that. I think he's absolutely spot on.
So the next question is about infrastructure. So Steve's made a good segue into that. So with some of those needs regarding infrastructure, especially accommodating large numbers of cruise ship tourists, what are some specific areas that could be improved in town regarding that?
Me?
Yeah, we'll start with you.
Okay.
And how would you resolve those issues?
How would I resolve them?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone knows that I'm really into how we deal with garbage in Skagway. So we're working really hard to get a new extra garbage facility, which is what we have called the composter building, for the 15-acre property out by the Dye Turn. And that idea is that it will keep wet food out of the incinerator and put it into a facility that will turn it into usable compost in 2 weeks. So it goes in one end, comes out the other, has a curing process, but essentially it's infrastructure that allows us to deal with our waste, creating something else in town. So we're not shipping it out, we're not paying for fuel to burn water, and so that's a really important piece of infrastructure. As I said earlier, that the incinerator is burning 7 days in a row in the summer. So we need to do projects like that to try to lengthen the incinerator's life, so we're not paying to replace an incinerator. It's wearing itself out. We've already spent millions of dollars just in maintenance over the last 8 years. And so there's that. I mentioned restrooms. We need to redo the big restroom down by the railroad dock. We need to add a restroom next to or south of or north of the Broadway dock. We currently have budgeted the Molly Walsh Park bathroom, because there's room there. We can expand that bathroom, and I think the bids are out for that right now. I think those are the most important things as far as infrastructure, is adding bathrooms, and you know, I guess I'll add pathways again. Finding the money to do it gets it done, and we can't afford to do those things.
Thanks, Steve. Roger?
Well, I think Steve gave a really good answer. I'd like to expand on a couple of items. I think talking about the restrooms, like at the railroad dock, I drove a tour bus this summer, and the railroad dock was quite an illuminating experience, especially with respect to the restrooms. Some days those things were really pretty disgusting, and it has to do with the design, and it has to do with the number of people where they're using it. And so we need to come up with a whole different way of managing those, as well as perhaps tearing them down and starting all over again. And his comment about having something on the Broadway dock is good as well. I think the other comment I would want to expand on with respect to what Steve said has to do with the composting and the garbage. And I've been involved in the periphery of these kinds of issues during the time I worked for the Forest Service. And in fact, this was in my closing years of my career with them. And there were a number of landfills down on Prince of Wales Island. And the Forest Service was closing them out. And the reason that they were closing them out had to do with heavy metals, Superfund type problems. You know, and the Forest Service didn't want the responsibility and the liability. So what happened when the Forest Service closed out those landfills, people still had trash, they still had batteries, they still had garbage, and it ended up in the local coulee. So I think, you know, they scattered the problem instead of actually solving it. They took care of their narrow interest, but not the larger interest. At the same time, in Juneau, they implemented policies about refrigerators and washing machines and all that kind of stuff going into the landfill. They had similar problems to what we have. And I had a motorcycle down there, and I liked to ride it, and I'd go to an overlook and admire the scenery and look down over the overlook, and there would be washers and dryers and refrigerators. So I think that when we look at these costs having to do with a solution to garbage here in Skagway, we need to be really mindful that the cost to the consumer and to the citizen needs to be very restrained, lest we end up disseminating the problem throughout the whole borough.
Thank you. How should the municipality proceed with the remediation of the ore terminal basin? We'll start with you, Roger.
Well, ultimately, White Pass put it there. Now, granted, you can say that there were other operators who were involved, you know, or the subcontractors and all that kind of stuff, but White Pass carried the responsibility for it. And so when you look at the finances of who should remove it, then ultimately it has to go to White Pass. Now, I realize that the city is a landowner and the city has an interest in that, so I guess that where I'm going with this is that I would want to see some sort of a cooperative effort between the White Pass and the city in getting that removed. I just spent 3 days going through the Golder Report, which was funded by White Pass. And Golder is a reputable firm, and I think the report was pretty comprehensive in their analysis of the situation out there in the basin. I was disappointed it didn't talk about remedies, but it put forth a couple of points that I think are really interesting, and that is that the Skagway River is depositing sediment on top of the lead and mercury contamination in the bottom of the basin. And the only exception where that isn't happening is from the propellers of the ships, where there is some scour where that sediment isn't being deposited. So what that suggests is that if it's not disturbed, ultimately a cap will come on top of it, and it doesn't pose the human health problem that was the concern of so many, including myself, in years past. The fly in the ointment is that if we expand the port to accommodate the breakaway class cruise ships, that ore basin is probably going to have to be dredged, which means that the sediment cap by the Skagway River is irrelevant. It's going to be disturbed. So I think no matter what, whether it's a human health concern or a future development concern, we have to remove that contamination so that our options are open in the future.
Thanks, Roger.
You bet.
Steve?
I think it's important that, and I've pushed for this and have not been able to get a lot of traction on it, although there's definitely support. And we did do an environmental regulation study through Moffitt and Nichols study a few years ago, so it's a good start, but I think it's important that we figure out and implement regulations on the waterfront so that when the dredging occurs, we don't end up in the same position 10, 20 years from now where the municipality doesn't have oversight over a contamination issue that may have happened. So I'm going to continue pushing for that, absolutely. I want to add to the silt comment Mr. Griffin stated, and that is glacial rebound is where the sediment is expanding and where Skagway actually raises up every year. I'm going to say it's like 2 centimeters. But nonetheless, if you have silt coming in out of the river and you have glacial rebound, ultimately you're forced to dredge in the port. And so in addition to that, though, where we have ships coming into Broadway Dock and Ore Dock, their rotors also disturb the silt to some extent. As there gets more and more, your cap could potentially be disturbed. And more importantly, when we have ore ships in, if they're empty, they're not touching the bottom, and when they're full, depending on the size and load, they can touch the bottom of our port currently. So in theory, we should be dredging or should have already dredged. And the only reason we haven't is because it would disturb what is down there. How to get there, I think we're on that path already. The municipality has been steadfast in saying we want it cleaned up, that we don't want a partial cleanup or a spot cleanup or any sort of way to put it off. We want it done and clean. And for instance, the Moffitt and Nichols study showed that they could put in a floating dock, seat a breakaway class ship at the end of the ore dock and not have to dredge and not have to remediate anything. And we could get it done in the short term that way. But it avoids the cleanup, which we need to resolve. And if we can't get that done in the short term, it's going to have to be done because we'd like the lease to expire and have our apartment back clean. Otherwise, where's our deposit that's going to help pay for that? So it's going to be clean, in my opinion. It's a matter of when.
Thanks, Steve. So in a previous election, a bond issue was approved for a senior center, affordable senior housing project. What have or will you do, if elected, to complete that project or to work on that project? We'll start with...
I was going to ask you, could you restate the question again?
Sure. In a previous election, a bond issue was approved for senior centers, affordable senior housing. What will you or what have you done, if elected, to work towards that project?
Well, that was barely approved, I think, just by a few votes. So I don't see a huge groundswell of community support for a senior center. I think an observation that's been made by some of the folks is that when you look at the expense of that senior center, you're looking at maybe somewhere around $1 million an apartment. That's pretty expensive housing. A direction that I would much rather take
instead of building a specific senior center, we already have the Little Dippers. You know, they cycle back and forth. We have the folks over there at the Presbyterian Church. What I would rather take is an effort to develop housing at a level that seniors could afford to purchase them. And to some extent, I'm in that same situation. I live on a fixed income. I also work part-time as a tour bus driver this summer, and I also do marine surveys. But the income level is not what it was 10 or 15 years ago. And if I could find a condominium for $150,000, I'd buy it. But it's not here. And I think that's something we need to work toward rather than having something specifically focused on senior citizens.
Thanks, Roger.
You bet.
Steve?
So I look at the bond vote a little bit differently because I think that votes are important. And I feel like since the vote was in the positive, we are obligated to build a senior center in some fashion. And it's a matter of, it's sort of like what I was talking about with building a pool. Should that be approved, I'd want it to be sustainable and affordable. Responsible. And I think that's where we're at with the current senior center facility, in that while the voters supported it and we had plans that weren't totally complete, were we to build it, we have no idea how we're going to operate it or who's going to operate it. Is it the municipality? Is it a new municipal department, current department? That's one of those, it's not responsible to build a building when you don't know how you're going to use it. And currently we have seniors using the senior center. It seems to be, working out for them in that area, although it's too small. So I think if it was just a senior center, it's probably not that far of a stretch that you could build a senior center and put the seniors in it and it would run itself, as long as you had building maintenance, which currently have a facilities maintenance director for public works, so they could add another building to their list. It's the housing side of it that is difficult, and the various studies that municipality has had done on that shows subsidy from the municipality so that these apartments are affordable for those who can get their foot in the door. And that's where, if there was someone else running this facility, they might be able to have, through nonprofits, receive grant money, which would help individuals live in the place. So another issue is that we realized that the location for where the old clinic was, 11th and Broadway, has diesel contamination, and so we're going to have to deal with that responsibly. It's under planning, but we will build a senior center when we can identify how we're going to operate it and an appropriate style building that the public understands and supports. But it will be done.
Thanks, Steve. Roger touched on this a little bit already. Housing is an issue for Skagway. So if elected, how would you facilitate creation of more housing opportunities in town? And as a follow-up to that, do you support development in the Denver Valley? Steve?
I'll try to answer the first part first. I think there are incentives the municipality should be considering for the current Skagway town site to incentivize current dwellings to improve the situation of their housing, or undeveloped properties that maybe someone owns but has and just can't afford to develop. And I'm not saying the municipality would pay for it, but there's ways that we can help incentivize the development of housing on those properties. There's plenty of examples of other communities doing things that, that help out people that want to alleviate housing in certain areas. So I was a big supporter of Garden City RV Park being moved, which follows the current comprehensive plan the municipality has, which it dictates that the RV park be moved north of 23rd, which we've been slowly trying to follow that, which was the part of the purchase of the 15 acres was to move the RV park out there, or rather dedicate property so that an RV park can be developed there, and then thereby causing the Garden City area to be made available for housing. And I feel like we have dragged our feet on doing that, and now we're actually managing the RV park through a contract, which I'd like to get away from. But until we have RV park somewhere else, then we can't get away from it. But I think supporting development in the town site is great. On Denver Valley, I'm totally against it. I think the Forest Service is running that area fine. It's a great destination for people to get off the train, go on a hike, or hike out there. It's near escape for people who want to go on a really easy hike that you don't do every day. It's not a Yakutania Point or Lower Lake. It's hike out to the glacier. It's great. Developing it would cause so much expense to the municipality that I'm not sure that it's justifiable. It's a potential town site is as big as the current community, and I feel like you'd have to, and I think it's been stated before, you'd have to build a wastewater treatment plant. Well, that's above our town site. That's above our aquifer. So how are we going to deal with that? I think I said in the paper that I thought it was a billion-dollar mistake. That number is probably low.
Thanks, Steve. Roger?
Well, I think Steve made a number of good points about the local housing here in town, but I disagree with him very strongly about Denver Valley. I guess the process, as I understand it, is that the city would file with the Forest Service for a town site claim. And having worked for the Forest Service, I can assure you that is something that won't happen overnight. It's going to take a while. And filing for the claim and ultimately even receiving that from the federal government doesn't necessarily obligate the city of Skagway to do something with it. I think we should file for it. I think we should obtain it. And there will be plenty of time in the future to decide what kind of use it should receive or should get. So I'm definitely in favor of filing for the town site claim. We can look at the potential environmental problems later on down the road that might have to do with development. Let's not worry about it right now.
And then regarding the creation of more housing in general, what would you do to facilitate that?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Well, I'm not an expert, in fact, I know very little about real estate law. I've purchased several homes and sold homes over the future, but that certainly doesn't make me an expert of that. David Brenner, who's on the assembly, is a professional in that business, and he and I have had a number of conversations over the years about this topic. I think there are a number of options out there that can be used that will provide incentives for private developers to come in and provide more affordable housing, and we need to explore those. Specific steps at this moment, I don't really know, but that's something I'd want to explore. But it needs to be done by the private sector with incentives from the government.
All right, thanks, Roger. I think we've got some questions from the audience.
Yes, we have one question from the audience this evening. So, are you aware that we now need to pay $270 return to Juneau and then $240 return to just 12 miles away to Haines? Would you support a resolution on Alaska Seaplanes to add one flight a day between these two communities?
Well, I will start with you, Roger.
Okay. Could you repeat that again?
Yeah.
I think I understood you. Yeah, yeah. Could you repeat that?
There's a lot there. Are you aware that we need to pay $270 return to Juneau and then $240 return to Haines, which is just 12 miles away? Would you support a resolution on Alaska Seaplanes to add one flight a day between these two communities?
As for the cost, no, I wasn't aware of that, and I can't verify that one way or the other, but I've done business over in Haines, and a flight or two a day directly between Skagway and Haines would be really nice. So I would support a resolution to encourage that kind of a connection.
Okay. Steve?
I haven't flown in a while. Prefer the ferry, honestly. And especially in the winter time where it's been more reliable. Nonetheless, the discussions about flights, and they can be extremely efficient. And we're generally down to one carrier coming out of Skagway, which makes it pretty easy to set the rate. Yeah, I would support a resolution that you know, supported flights going to Haines, going to Juneau. I'm unaware because usually I have flown down to Juneau, I've flown back the same day. So if they've cut back on the number of flights, then that wasn't something that I was aware of, but I thought you could go 5 or 6 times a day, starting early in the morning, and sometimes it stops in Haines and goes to Juneau, but nonetheless, if they're not doing that, then they need to do that. So I don't know if I'm interpreting the question exactly right, but those are the kind of things that a resolution is perfect for.
We'll give each of you a couple of minutes to make some closing remarks, and we'll start with Steve.
I have served almost 6 years on the assembly. I hope people think that I've done a good enough job, or at least that they understand or hope that or feel like they can talk to me or know who I am, and if they don't, that maybe they feel, maybe after hearing the radio, or that I'm approachable. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, we're volunteering. And we are volunteering, but it's also an honor to be elected. Having been elected twice, I've been honored twice. And if the public is tired of Steve Burnham Jr. Representing them, I totally understand. sometimes I'm tired of me representing me. So if the public votes against me, it's their prerogative. But I hope that everyone feels like they can come and tell me when I'm wrong, or if we're heading in the right direction, but here's how it could be better, because I don't have all the information. And it's really important that elected officials be able to delegate their resources, and their resources are the people who elect them. So if I know that the person over here is really good at this, I might come and ask, you know, what do you do about this problem? And I hope that if people have that information and they think that I don't know that they have it, that they bring it forward. Absolutely. We all live here. So thanks for coming, even though it's a small audience here, but hopefully a lot more people will hear it on the radio.
Thanks, Steve. Roger, closing remarks?
Well, I think it's really nice to have an election where there isn't a lot of drama. And to some extent, I think that's because of the three people who are on the ballot and the issues, the state of issues that the town is in today. I think that any two of the three of us would represent the city well. Stephen and I have had our issues over the years, and Jay and I see eye to eye on a lot, but there are differences there as well. But there's no question, I don't think, that any of the three of us would be promoting what we believe it would be, what we thought was best for the community. So, and I appreciate the efforts that Steve has done over the past years as well as Jay. As for myself, well, I think I can bring a perspective that would help us move forward over the next year or two with respect to the port. And I go back to my experience in private and sector as well as in the government. As a mid-level manager in both, and I think that's the kind of experience that would be an asset in getting to go on this port issue and getting the other things the community wants. And that's the perspective I think I'd bring to the assembly. And having said that, I wish you the best, and
thank you.
The gentleman down there who isn't here today, Jay, all right. You're good people all.
Yeah, just to clarify, Jay Burnham is also on the ballot as well. He could not make it tonight.